We hear the word of the Lord as recorded by the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why exactly are we here this evening? I mean, that sounds like a silly question, of course, but what is it that makes tonight so special? Why is it that the pews fill up so much on Christmas Eve, but not so much for the rest of the year? What makes tonight a night that you want to gather up the family, come to the church and settle into the pew, sitting in the presence of our Heavenly Father? Why tonight? Well, we all have our reasons. Some of us are here because this is a night that fits our schedules. Some of us are here because we're in town visiting relatives. Some are here because it's really pretty with all the lights and the candles. Some are here to give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful gifts to us. Some are here because this is just something we have to endure, but once we get home, it's time to open presents. And some of us have been brought here by our family and honestly would really rather be anywhere else. You alone know why you are truly here. But whatever brought you here tonight, rejoice that you are here. Because here, even if this is the only day of the year you plan to be in church, here you are given the greatest gift ever, the eternal Word of God that proclaims the forgiveness of sins for all those who believe in him. All throughout Advent this year, we've been looking at that Word of God that foretold the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw how from the moment sin entered into the world, God promised that he would send a Messiah to take away the eternal consequences of that sin. We saw how God foretold that the Messiah would be our Savior, would suffer and die in our place. We saw how God gave such great detail through prophecy, foretelling where the Messiah would be born, how he would come into the world, and so much more. And tonight, as we look to the birth of Jesus Christ, we see the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And in that fulfillment, we see our own salvation. Because the birth of Jesus Christ, it's not just a feel-good moment to take our minds off the trials and tribulations of the world for an evening. Tonight, when we look into the manger, we see not just a cute little baby, but the promised Messiah. We see how Almighty, eternal, and holy God humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary, to come to us and to dwell with us. In that manger, we see nothing less than God himself in our flesh. And as sinners, that should terrify us. Why? Because God is holy. God is perfect. God is righteous. God is all-powerful and all-knowing. He has created the universe. He has made everything that is with just a word. And he rules over it all perfectly. His law is unquestionable, infallible, and eternal. And we sinners, we've broken that law. We have transgressed God's perfect ways in thought, word, and deed. We have put ourselves before others and put ourselves and other things in the place of God. We have rejected His goodness. We have told Him that we know better than He does, that His word means nothing to us. We've spurned His gifts. We've refused to hear His word. We've twisted it and warped it to fit our own selfish, sinful desires. And we cannot hide our misdeeds from Him. And all of our flimsy excuses, they change nothing. We are sinners, and we know that we have no right to stand in the presence of God, who is holy and perfect and righteous. We know that our sin deserves only death. Not just death here on earth, but eternal death. Eternal separation from God. At the idea of standing in the presence of this child who is fully God, perfect, almighty, unchanging, and holy, we poor miserable sinners should be terrified. And yet, we're not. We're blasé, we're indifferent, we're even bored with it all. We feel no terror, no fear, not even a sense of awe this evening as we come into God's presence. We stand in the presence of the one true and triune God, and we feel nothing. Now, how can that be? For some here tonight, perhaps you don't really believe any of this. Perhaps you don't think that Jesus truly is God, or that there even is a God. Maybe you think that God's word doesn't matter, that He's not really going to punish any sinners, and there's nothing to really be afraid of. If that is so, then I pray that tonight would change your heart and your life. For God will not be mocked, and all will stand before His righteous throne of judgment in the end. You may think you can do as you wish, that you don't need God or His word or His forgiveness, but sadly, you are very wrong. And I pray that you do not die in your unbelief. For those who do have only God's eternal wrath to look forward to after death, and I do not wish that upon anyone. So if you feel no fear, no awe, no terror because you don't really believe any of this, repent. Hear the word of the Lord and believe it. Let it change you and turn you from your wicked ways that lead only to hell. And when you do, you will stand before this manger and still you will fear no fill. You will feel no fear. Not because you don't believe, but because you do believe. And you know what this baby Jesus truly means. For those who believe, for those who put their faith and trust in the infallible word of God instead of the sinful ways of our world, we stand before God acknowledging His holiness and righteousness, confessing that we as sinners truly deserve only His wrath. But we do so with boldness and with confidence. Not taking pride in our sin as the world would have us do, but taking refuge in the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we celebrate not just that He was born into our flesh, but that He was born into our flesh to take our place beneath the wrath of God that we deserved. For this tiny baby whose birth we celebrate, He was born to die. To give His life as a sacrifice in your place, to pay the penalty of your sin. Every transgression, every time you disobeyed the word of the Lord, every single sin you ever committed, all of it was laid upon Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This child is your Savior, because He willingly took all of your sin upon Himself and gave Himself over to death, to pay the penalty that you never could. In love, Jesus willingly went to the cross, suffered unimaginable agony that should have been yours for all eternity, all to forgive you, to cleanse you of your sin, to restore you as a child of God. Jesus Christ, true God in our flesh, was crucified, died, and was buried to pay the penalty of your sin. And on the third day, when He rose again from the dead, He did so to give you the guarantee of everlasting life in heaven. His payment was sufficient, and the chains of death have been broken forever. Even now, as He has ascended into heaven, He intercedes for you with the Father, washes you of your sin, comes to you in His holy house through His word and His sacraments. not just on special occasions like this, but all throughout the year. Every time we gather together, we do so in the very presence of the one true and triune God, receiving his gracious eternal gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And all of you are welcome to join us, to hear God's word, to know the joy and the peace that it brings into the lives of those who gladly hear and learn it. Jesus Christ is your Savior from sin, death, and the devil, and he freely gives you the eternal gift of salvation. This is the true joy of Christmas, and it does not end when the presents are all gone and the goodies are all eaten. For the gifts of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of all your sins, the free gift of everlasting life in heaven, these gifts never leave you. All those who look to Jesus in faith are given these gifts now and forevermore. And that is why we celebrate tonight and every moment of our lives. That is why I pray that as our students proclaim it in their readings and songs, God's word would touch each of your lives and bring you to true faith in him. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and all who look to him in faith, despite our sin which deserves only eternal death, by grace through faith, we will rise to new life with him in that perfect paradise of heaven. For by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.